The round of 16 is taking shape and Manchester United will be part of it after Michael Carrick's side won at Villarreal.
Helped on by Bruno Fernandes to Jadon Sancho to make absolutely sure of Manchester United's victory. His first goal for the club, a thumping right foot finish in off the underside of the crossbar, and Michael Carrick is starting his reign as the Manchester United manager with a win.
They're joined by Chelsea, who dazzled against Juventus. Xavi's Champions League start with Barca somehow ended goalless. We talk Atalanta's six-goal thriller, late drama in Malmö and Sevilla, as well as Lewandowski levitating to score another stunner for Bayern. It's all to come on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and we're going to be looking back on another fantastic night of group stage action. Tonight I'm joined by commentators John Bradley and Dan O'Hagan, as well as European football expert Chris Parrott. Chris, another great evening of action.
Just recovering, really. It was one of those great group stage nights. When it gets to match day five and six, there's something on every goal, on every match, and we had so much late drama. The end of the match between Barcelona and Benfica was absolutely crazy. Benfica missed a huge chance which would have seen them in pole position potentially to knock out Barcelona in a couple of weeks. And Chelsea, you mentioned it, I think you said dazzling. That was a proper statement from the European champions. They demolished Juventus at Stamford Bridge.
Well, John Bradley was watching that one. And John, I suppose for Chelsea fans, so satisfying that their academy stars were at the heart of it.
Yeah, they were simply irresistible in this game. And when the focus was on the likes of James and Hudson-Odoi with some of the big names only on the bench and only fit enough to be on the bench, it was those Chelsea young guns that have come through their academy and their UEFA Youth League successes who really came to the fore and really put Juventus away good and proper.
And Dan O'Hagan was watching Barcelona Benfica. Xavi just couldn't quite get that win, but he was lucky to get a point.
Yeah, I'm not sure how the game finished 0-0, Rob, because it was end-to-end. I mean, you look at the first half, the shot off the bar from Yusuf Demir, Frenkie de Jong's header, second half, great save for Lokodimos, but at the end for Benfica, that miss by Seferovic, remarkable. How he's not scored, I'm not sure. How it's finished 0-0, I've no idea at all.
Yeah, and Rob, if that is the way that Xavi's Barcelona are going to play, if they're going to be that open and entertaining, more of the same, please.
It could be quite fun. OK, let's go through all the scores then in the UEFA Champions League on Match Day 5 Tuesday. In Group E in the early kickoff, Dinamo Kiev 1, Bayern 2. Bayern go through as group winners. They were already through going into that one, but they have won the section. Barcelona and Benfica playing out that goalless draw in Group F. Manchester United into the round of 16 after their 2-0 win at Villarreal. Young Boys and Atalanta played out a 3-3 draw in that group as well. In Group G, Lille 1, Salzburg 0, Sevilla 2, Wolfsburg 0. We'll explain what that means for the section. And in Group H, Chelsea 4 through to the knockouts after beating Juve by 4-0, and it finished 1-1 between Malmö and Zenit in Sweden. Well, let's start a look back in Spain, where Unai Emery's Villarreal came up against a Manchester United side led by caretaker manager Michael Carrick. Stephen Wyeth describes the action.
Moy Gomez for Villarreal. He's full of running and he's getting a shot away. Strikes it straight at Lindelof, breaks for Trigueros. Oh my goodness. David De Gea has just come up with a world-class save, diving sharply to his right and beating the effort away when it seemed certain that Manu Trigueros would give Villarreal the lead. Got a problem here. United are in and Manchester United have scored. And it's Cristiano Ronaldo once again in the Champions League. He has scored in every round so far, but that one could be utterly critical. The goal to put Manchester United in front, lofted over Rooney from the edge of the penalty area, could be the goal to send Manchester United into the round of 16. Ronaldo for Rashford. He's in. He's bearing down on the penalty area. Here's a chance to clinch it. Helped on by Bruno Fernandes to Jadon Sancho. to make absolutely sure of Manchester United's victory. His first goal for the club, a thumping right foot finish in off the underside of the crossbar, and Michael Carrick is starting his reign as the Manchester United manager with a win, and a big win in the Champions League. It's Villarreal 0, Manchester United 2.
There have been a lot of late goals, haven't there, on Manchester United's route to the round of 16, but 10 points is what they have, and 10 points, as is normally the case, is enough to get a team into the knockout stages. That is what they've done. United's interim manager Michael Carrick was delighted with the manner of the win, given recent results.
Yeah, let's be honest, I don't think we could have hoped for to come out here and play pretty football from the word go. You know, when you've suffered results-wise and you're not in a great vein of form and individually and as a team, then it's not easy to come out and just let everything click. And in some ways, it was the best way to win for me. That we had to show some character, we had to dig in, we had to fight. We went our way at times, didn't go away at the others, and the game would look like at times it was drifting away from us after half time, and then we got back together again, and the subs made a massive impact and towards the end. So it had a bit of everything, and that's all I could hope for. The boys give everything.
You're not sure that Michael Carrick did not start Bruno Fernandes, went with Donny van der Beek, but then Fernandes came on and was a major factor, really, in Manchester United establishing more control in the game. Let's hear from United's captain now, Harry Maguire, who was pleased with his team's strong second-half performance.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty, the first half especially. It was tough, tight, edgy, two teams who wanted to go for the victory but knew that they couldn't lose the game as well. So it was important to stay in the game, stay in the tie, and then obviously we made the changes and freshened things up, and I thought that the lads who had come off the bench really helped us and helped us push on, and we felt like we had that victory really from the second half. I thought the second half performance was really good.
It was a clean sheet for Manchester United, but Cristiano Ronaldo was the UEFA player of the match. His goal, very well taken one actually, to get them up and running. Ronaldo's now scored in each of United's last four games in the Champions League. The first player to score four consecutive goals for the club in the competition since Wayne Rooney in March 2010. His former teammate, of course, at the club. Chris, you know, Michael Carrick had basically no time on the training ground. Yeah. He wasn't really going to implement some mad new philosophy, was he? But, you know, he'll be absolutely delighted to get the knockout stages booked with a game to spare.
Yeah, I actually thought that clip there was quite telling. It was honest, right? He admitted that confidence has been low in the camp. You've seen that with their performances in the English Premier League. Even in this competition, actually, they've struck late to win games when perhaps they might not have
2-2
done.
2-2 Atalanta, 3-2 Atalanta, yeah. 2-1 Villarreal.
Yeah, exactly. This was possibly their best performance in the group stage, and albeit after an unbelievably good save from David De Gea at 0-0 from Trigueros, I think. That was a truly world-class stop, and if that goes in, it might be very, very different. But I thought he's spoken very candidly since he's taken caretaker charge. Of course, he was, you know, a major part of the coaching staff under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, so he wasn't going to change much. But he also said in his pre-match press conference, well, the quote that everyone picked out, "I have my own ideas," and I think we saw that. Whether he dropped or whether he tactically rested or whatever the decision, Bruno Fernandes didn't start, and his decision vindicated because the changes he made, Bruno Fernandes and Marcus Rashford coming on at the time they did, changed the momentum of the game, and they eventually scored two very good finishes, and the second goal they scored was a brilliant move.
And a fine finish as well from Jadon Sancho, who had missed a one-on-one chance at 0-0. His first goal, as we heard there in Stephen's commentary, for Manchester United. And you get the feeling, I mean, a huge transfer fee from Borussia Dortmund. Mm. He really needed that, Chris. It hadn't been happening for him at Old Trafford to this point.
No, I was watching it and I was trying to think. I think that's the longest he spent on the pitch in a single game. Certainly a single big game for Manchester United. He played 92 minutes until he was taken off to a standing ovation from the sold-out away end. And that, I think, that will do him the world of good. Manchester United need him to be the Jadon Sancho that we saw with Borussia Dortmund. That's why they paid the fee that they did. That's why they've been after him for a couple of years. And, you know, sometimes it takes a while and it can take a night like this to click for Jadon Sancho. And we don't know what's going to happen in the coming days and weeks in terms of who's going to be in charge. But if Manchester United can have a firing Jadon Sancho, they will be significantly improved.
Play Chelsea and then Arsenal, yeah, in the Premier League next. And we'll see if Michael Carrick's the guy before the caretaker manager, or if he will, or if he will be the proper caretaker manager of Manchester United. The other game in the group was absolutely incredible. Young Boys 3, Atalanta 3. Young Boys, Atalanta led twice. Zapata put them ahead. Sabatiu level before half time. Palomino with a lovely strike, but Atalanta ahead again 6 minutes after the restart. Sierra levelled with 10 minutes to go. Then Hefty smashed one into the top corner from about 25 metres out. But then Luis Muriel scored a free kick through the wall with 2 minutes to go. So Atalanta get the point. Had they won, they would have gone above Villarreal in the standings before facing them on match day six. But you get the feeling now, given the situation they've got themselves in, Chris, Gianpiero Gasperini will be relieved to have a point.
Very relieved, I think. That they were staring, you know, at an exit, I think, had they lost that game.
Young Boys would have gone above them.
Strike from Hefty would have been worthy of winning any game. It was a ferocious effort into the top corner. But this is Atalanta. At the weekend in Serie A, it was 5-2. They lost 3-2 to Manchester United earlier this season. They lost 3-2 to Milan. They won 4-1 at Empoli. This is just them. And for as long as Gasperini is there and this era at Atalanta continues, I feel like we should just sit back and enjoy it. It might not last forever. Hopefully it lasts for the next 10, 15 years, because they give so much to this competition since they've come into it for the last couple of years. And this was just peak Atalanta. Now, they still have an awful lot of work to do to go through on match day six. But this section behind Manchester United, you would not want to call who's going to go through.
Yes, so Manchester United are top of the section, and as I mentioned, are already through now to the round of 16. A great luxury for them. Villarreal second, 7 points. Atalanta third, 6 points. Those two teams meet in Bergamo on match day six, and Young Boys go to Manchester United to finish their campaign. They can still technically qualify for the Europa League, Young Boys, on 4 points after that draw as well. Okay, to Group E and Camp Nou next, where Barcelona hosted Benfica. Xavi's first Champions League game in charge of the club. This one was watched by Dan O'Hagan.
Another Benfica corner. Good spell here for the Portuguese team as we near half-time. In here by Everton. It breaks now for Rafa Silva, and the shot's on here. Off the bar and in. What a hit. Edge of the box. It'll be checked. Otamendi's shot was so venomous, came back off the bar and in. I think the ball, though, had gone out before it came back into play from the initial corner, so sadly for Benfica, it doesn't count. Busquets on halfway. Lovely pass in that right-hand channel, and Yusuf Demir from Busquets. Yusuf Demir tries to bend one and hits the crossbar. And away by Otamendi. Well, Yusuf Demir so close into the game's first goal for Barcelona. It would have been really special too, that curling, swerving shot off angle of post and bar. Jordi Alba's cross here, great ball in, magnificent finish. It's Ronald Araujo arrives on the scene. Super right foot finish, but hang on. The flag's up for offside for now. It'll be checked, of course. But the goal for now does not stand for Xavi's Barcelona. It stays 0-0. What a moment this could be for Seferovic for Benfica. Oh, he's missed it. On the left of the post, somehow, in the game's 94th minute, Harry Seferovic, with a chance to win the game and put Benfica in the box seat. He's not taken it.
And you can hear the despair in Dan's voice that Harry Seferovic did not convert that. He joins us now. Dan, a perfect example there, the highlights of the game. It's extraordinary it was goalless in the end. But I think fundamentally, Benfica will be happy, won't they, do you think?
Well, yes and no, because don't forget, a win and they'd overtake Barcelona. So, OK, they've got a draw at Camp Nou. They played well. That chance at the end from Seferovic, they could have won the game. But they haven't won the game, so match day six, they're still 2 points behind. And Barcelona, they should have won the game. First half, by far the better team. A lot like the game with Espanyol here at the weekend when Barcelona were the best team in the first half and second half tailed off. Same was true again today, really. So Xavi, of course, it's a work in progress. There was a change of formation to a back three today for Barcelona. But for a 0-0, I loved every second of that game tonight.
Dan, I think you called it a basketball match at the end. I was watching it on the screen and it was ridiculous. We kept on having two-on-two attacks from both teams because, you know, I didn't quite realise, but of course, if Benfica win on match day six against Dynamo Kiev, then Barca have to win in Munich, yep, against Bayern to go above them. So you could see why both teams were so desperate to score.
Yeah, I mean, that finish was extraordinary. I've not seen a game like that for a long time where, you know, it's, as I say, it's like basketball, end-to-end stuff. And but Seferovic, you know, he looked back on that miss. You saw George Jesus, the coach, when that miss happened, he just fell to his knees because he knew that was the chance his team had to take a firm hold of the group and be in the box seat to qualify. Because right now, OK, they've got the easy game, if you like, on match day six, home to Dynamo Kiev. But Barca go away to Bayern, who've already won the group.
It's interesting. Would Barcelona rather be in Benfica's position? We'll keep down with this for Bayern because they've won the group. They won 2-1 away at Dynamo Kiev. Goals from Lewandowski. An incredible overhead kick. It has to be seen to be believed. Put them ahead. Kingsley Coman got the other goal before half-time. Dynamo Kiev did pull one back through Dennis Karmash, but it wasn't enough. The UEFA player of the match was Alfonso Davies, and he was pleased to win in challenging conditions. Heavy snowfall with a smaller squad too.
You know, the team played well. You know, it wasn't easy, especially with the weather, the snow and everything, but it's no excuse. And we came out here, we did our job, and yeah, it was a tough game. You know, every game is a tough game. You know, we just played well. And yeah, I mean, coming in the game, we know, you know, our players are limited. You know, we only have like 14 players that travel, 15 players that travel with the team. So it was a tough match, but we're happy we got the win.
Lewandowski, by the way, scored in each of his last 9 Champions League appearances, became the first player to have netted 9 in a row on more than one occasion. He did it in August 2020. That just gets even better at the end there. Dan, a big win for Bayern. They've got it done and dusted. Lots of players out due to COVID-19 issues. But that gives them a little bit of a luxury now in terms of what is a tight Bundesliga title race as well.
It does, yeah. Dortmund, of course, closed the gap for the weekend in the Bundesliga. But, that goal by Lewandowski tonight, you know, he scored so many great goals, the sheer volume of goals. But the one tonight, even by his standards, is something truly remarkable. This is a guy who's had the year of his life, and that goal today was just the icing on the cake.
Okay, more from Dan shortly. Chris, would you rather be in Benfica or Barcelona shoes quickly?
Benfica.
Yeah, 5 points. Yeah, two behind so. Barcelona. And the reason, of course, being that they have that superior head-to-head record. Bayern top, 15 points. Maximum points, 19 goals in the group stage for them. Incredible. Okay, two groups down, two still to go.
Celebrate 30 seasons of that UCL feeling by picking the ultimate moment in UEFA Champions League history. It's up to you to decide whether it's the greatest goal, the best save, or even the most phenomenal piece of skill. The top two in each category go through to a knockout vote in the new year. You could win tickets for the final in May, as well as other amazing prizes.
OK, let's go to Group H next, where the top two came head-to-head as Chelsea hosted Juventus, needing just a point to seal qualification for the last 16. This is how things unfolded at Stamford Bridge.
Hakim Ziyech with the corner. Left-footed away swinger. It comes down, ricochets, and Chalobah is there to slam the ball into the roof of the net. And everything just seems to be going right for this Chelsea youngster at the moment. He fires them in front. It's Chelsea 1, Juventus 0. Rudiger picks up the pieces and starts to move forward. Plays it to Chilwell on the left-hand side. His cross left-footed, flicked on by De Ligt. It comes to James with a shot, and that's just absolutely beautiful. He's cannoned the ball into the back of the Juventus net. Chelsea have their second, and Reece James just can't miss at the minute. Rudiger and James again. Lovely control. Back towards Loftus-Cheek, and still Loftus-Cheek, and Hudson-Odoi. It's 3. It's a bit of a rout now for Chelsea, who are just running away with this one. And Chelsea have a 4 to wrap it up right in the final minute of stoppage time. The ball drilled across the penalty area. It was missed by the young substitute fullback, drilled across goal, and Timo Werner simply couldn't miss. The misery is complete for Juventus now. Chelsea have given them a real going over. Chelsea 4, Juventus 0.
John Bradley was on commentary and he joins us now. John, I think your analysis was that Chelsea are good.
Yes.
I think that was the main
bulk of it. I think it was something of an understatement as well.
Thanks, John.
I think, look, we said just before half-time that Chelsea were playing really, really well. There's just great confidence in the way they're doing things as well. But there's just such composure out on the field. There's a belief in each other. And, you know, they've gone from Thomas Tuchel taking charge. This was his 50th game in charge since he took over last January, and they're just getting better and better and better. And the squad, with the likes of Werner and Lukaku and Saul on the bench tonight, with a couple of players injured as well, they just look imperious. And you know, we'll focus on Chelsea because we'll talk in a minute, no doubt, about what it means for Juventus. But after losing in Turin on match day two and being poor, well, I mean, they've answered it in the best possible way. They go above Juventus in the group now, and they know that it's in their hands to make sure that they finish top of the group come the end of the group stage on match day six.
Well, Chelsea were all over Juve in this game, and Thomas Tuchel was pleased with his team's intensity.
Very good performance. We wanted to stay patient, but we did not want to fall asleep. So it was the challenge to have both things, be patient and still increase constantly the rhythm and the intensity. And yeah, I have to say the team did very, very well. It's so tough to score goals, to create chances, and we scored so many, we created so much. So full credit, amazing performance and fantastic result.
One of their best performances of the season, Chris. I mean, they just didn't get... I mean, you've had a couple of chances first half. Let's not forget Thiago Silva's goal line clearance to deny Morata, but they were just sort of suffocating, really, at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, it's the modern way, isn't it? And the very best team, suffocating is the right way. We've seen, you know, Manchester City and Liverpool do that. And Chelsea, on a performance like that, it's so hard to play against because any time a Juventus player got the ball, which wasn't that often because they were sitting deep and looking to play on the counter-attack, there were at least two or three Chelsea players around them. The fluidity of their attacks, if you look at the positions that Rhys James, who did score, and Ben Chilwell, who somehow did not, took up, they were often the furthest man forward. They were central, they were left, they were right, they were everywhere. Rudiger was playing like some... What did I call him? A quarterback?
Quarterback.
In commentary. It was remarkable, really. And at 1-0, Thomas Tuchel was looking a little frustrated because the only thing you might be able to say is that Chelsea, a couple of attacks, they didn't quite pick that perfect final pass. But then Rhys James scored up a brilliant goal. Stamford Bridge erupted. And then it was 3 in double quick time. And so that any frustration that Tuchel might have had about that, the front six not quite clicking as much as he would have hoped, I think, was gone in an instant, and it's pretty much the perfect display.
See those two goals he scored against Newcastle recently, very similar, hits the ball so cleanly, Rhys James, a bit like Ben Chilwell on the other side. But what a night for Trevor Chaloba. The young defender was awarded the UEFA Player of the Match and was delighted to score his first Champions League goal.
It's a dream come true, you know, because when I was young I used to watch a lot of Champions League games, so now, obviously now, being involved and getting my first start, first goal has been amazing. I just think today we were more aggressive. I think we believed in ourselves more. We took the game to them, and we knew the dangers they caused, and we nullified that. Defensively, we were very good. Then when you're good defensively, the attack, it does the rest. Just got to keep up, keep the consistency up, and go again.
Well, Chelsea have had three different English scorers in a single Champions League match for the first time. Chaloba, James, and Hudson-Odoi. They have this front three, no recognised striker tonight, no Havertz. Werner came on, of course, no Lukaku in the starting 11. It's an interesting team he's got. I mean, I don't really know what the strongest side is, John.
It's really hard.
Don't know if it matters.
Should we put into context how bad this is for Juventus tonight? It's the heaviest ever UEFA Champions League defeat. It's the worst loss in any competition since 2004, and you have to go back 43 years to 1978 for the last time that they were beaten by a heavier scoreline, when they lost 5-0 at Napoli in the Coppa Italia. They lost 4-0 to Roma in Serie A in 2004, and they've only ever had one defeat worse in Europe, back in the European Cup in 1958, when they lost 7-0 to Venus Sport Club. So, I mean, it's a real chastening night for Juventus. And just after they were looking as though they had a bit of fluidity, the life has been really sucked out of them by a quite imperious Chelsea performance.
Yeah, and it could have been more. Hakim Ziyech had a late chance. The only thing for Chelsea is they will hope, Rob, that the injuries to Ben Chilwell and N'Golo Kanté, who were both forced off, they will hope that those two key players that there's nothing seriously wrong with them.
The other game in the group was Malmö 1, Zenit 1. Malmö leading through Søren Rieks' first half goal, but after Artem Zubad had a penalty saved, Jaroslav Rakitski stepped up to take one later, and he scored the equaliser in added time. It means Zenit will finish third and go into the Europa League. For Rieks, he was the player of the match, so I was pleased with his performance, but disappointed with the result.
I've enjoyed playing tonight. Big night in Champions League. It's just enjoyable. And I think we, as a team, did a good performance, myself included. So we talked about it before the game, where the spaces are, and the way we build up, and the way we switch side in the goal, and the combination with Veljko Bevancevic. Definitely an enjoyable night, except the results.
So Malmö's European adventure ends at the group stage of the Champions League, but they're going for the Allsvenskan title meanwhile. So Chelsea top of the group, 12 points above Juve on head-to-head, who also have 12 points. So we'll see who will win that group now. So match day 6, Chelsea go to Zenit, Juve host Malmö. They'll fancy their chances of getting a victory against the Swedish side. Okay, let's go to Group G, final section to tidy up. This is such a tight group, isn't it, Chris? Let's start with Lille 1, Salzburg 0, and it is a win that takes Lille above Salzburg in the standings. Jonathan David with the goal.
Yeah, and look, they won the French title last season. They lost a lot of their best players and their coach in the summer. They didn't win any of their first three group games. It looked like it was done and dusted. And here are Lille heading into the final match day, top of the tree with every chance to go through it. So, you know, it's quietly one of these stories, I think. Their comeback in Group G is one of these stories of this group stage.
Burak Yilmaz bullying his way into the penalty area. It popped up to David. He scored the only goal, and Salzburg have slipped away after that great start. They are second and on 7 points. They host Sevilla next. Wolfsburg take on Lille. Wolfsburg were beaten, meanwhile, 2-0 by Sevilla, Chris.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this section. Wolfsburg are bottom, 3 points behind Lille, who are top. We thought Group G was going to be open. I didn't necessarily think it was going to be this thrilling heading into match day 6. Big result. I saw Julen Lopetegui, how he celebrated Sevilla's goal, or Sevilla's second goal. You could see what it meant to him. I think Sevilla were most people's favourites when the draw was made. They came into match day 5 really playing catch-up, and that 2-0 win has put them right back into contention.
Joan Jordan scoring a header in the first half after a brilliantly swept in ball by Ivan Rakitic, and then Rafa Mir, summer signing, scored in the 7th minute of added time to see off Wolfsburg, who are bottom of the section. Of course, they've changed their head coach in this Champions League campaign, dismissing Mark van Bommel. Florian Kohfeldt in the dugout now, but they're bottom of the group and have a mission on to qualify for the next stage. So Lille 8, Salzburg 7, Sevilla 6, Wolfsburg 5. That'll be fun going into match day 6. Okay, should we get everyone to moments of the night? John Bradley, you can start us off then. Chelsea 4, Juve 0.
Yes, you can become a bit blasé with how good Chelsea are and Reece James striking the football so well. Chalabar's first UEFA Champions League goal, but the moment of the night clearly was 37-year-old Thiago Silva's ridiculous acrobatic clearance off his own goal line to deny Alvaro Morata. In the great scheme of things, it probably wouldn't have changed the game, but just to see him still doing that at his age after all these years was just absolutely fantastic to see.
Yeah, that's a good one, John. Okay, let's go to Dan. Dan watching Barcelona 0, Benfica 0, one of the most entertaining 0-0s around. Dan, what was your moment of the match?
Yeah, that miss at the end by Haris Seferovic, you know, such a finely poised game, a game so well balanced, but that miss just underlines the drama, the fine margins which make this competition so great. If he scores, the group's got a whole different complexion. He misses and suddenly, you know, it all changes again. So yeah, for me that was my moment of tonight's match day.
So will it be Barcelona or Benfica through to the next round of the competition? Barcelona have not been knocked out in the group stages for more than 20 years in the competition. Chris Amani, the other games, your moment of the night.
I think it has to be another, can I call him a golden oldie, but Robert Lewandowski's overhead kick at 33 to have, well, how is he that supple to be able to do that? If I tried that and I'm a couple of years older, I wouldn't be able to walk for a week.
Other than that, you're very similar.
Very similar.
Okay, Chris, thank you very much. Thanks to John and Dan as well. That's just about all we've got time for on a night that saw two more teams book their places in the last 16, Manchester United and Chelsea. We're back again on Wednesday from 6 p.m. CET. Two more live commentaries, Besiktas against Ajax in the early kickoff. Then later, what a game in Group A. Manchester City against Paris Saint-Germain. Up update as well from Atletico versus Milan in that group that Liverpool have already won. And remember to download our official podcast shortly after every match night via your favourite provider. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.